Hello there, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and welcome to, this is hard to believe, but podcast number 3 about Android. Wow. This is unbelievable. This is the third podcast on Android, and it's only been a few weeks. I don't think my Macintosh podcast went this quick, and I know my iOS ones didn't either, but that's fine. I'm happy to do it. Some things I definitely want to address and demonstrate for you in this podcast. Here's kind of what I want to cover in this one. I want to give you some updates on phone recommendations. Some things have actually changed since the first podcast when I did that. And there has been a lot of debate, sometimes too heated, really, and it's producing certainly more heat than light, about which platform is better, iOS or Android, and the advantages and disadvantages. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my perspective on that and tell you some actual differences, which are factual. I mean, they are actual differences between the two, and then give you my opinion as to whether I think one has the advantage over the other. Now, as to whether those differences or certain differences are important to you, that's up to you, of course. So as far as which one I think might be better on a certain part, that's my own opinion. But I will, again, give you some factual differences between them. And then I want to show you a couple other really nifty things. The speech recognition on Android, I want to show you that. That is really cool. I think you're going to like that. I certainly do. It is really awesome. And then I want to show you how to update applications, if there are updates for apps, how to do that. I know I've shown you how to install apps from the market, both on the phone and the computer, but how do you deal with app updates? So I want to show you that. And then I want to show you another application that may become the iTunes or certainly the music store on Android, and that's Amazon MP3. You can buy all kinds of stuff, they give it to you as regular MP3 files, and it's also a very nice media player. You can play your own music. So that's what's coming up in this podcast. I hope everybody enjoys this, and I'll do my best to make this providing information as I can for you. So first off, let me give you some updates on phone recommendations. I had said in the first podcast that I didn't know what was available for AT&T as far as that had keyboards and that was usable. Well, there are two currently that AT&T offers that do have keyboards, but I wouldn't get them because they're running an older version of Android, and there are not going to be any more updates for those phones. They are the Motorola Backflip and the Motorola, I think it's the Flip Out is what it's called. And as far as I know, those are the only ones that have a keyboard or even a navigation control on them for AT&T. So my suggestion to you is if you want to use AT&T, if you want a phone that has a navigational control, but you don't need the physical keyboard, if you don't mind typing on a touchscreen, get the Nexus One. It's unlocked and it'll work fine with AT&T. If you want a phone that has a QWERTY keyboard, get the Motorola Milestone 2. That is the GSM equivalent of the Droid 2 that's on Verizon, which, by the way, I have gotten. So now I have two Android phones. I've got the Nexus One still, and I've got the Motorola Milestone 2. And when we get into some of the applications, I'll be using that phone. I'm going to use the Nexus for the speech recognition demonstration. And then for demonstrating updating apps and the Amazon MP3, I'll go ahead and show you the Motorola Milestone 2. That is a really nice phone with a very nice keyboard. I was leery about getting a keyboard phone because I've tried a few of the Nokia ones, and I had a lot of trouble typing on them, made a lot of typos, but I never thought I'd be able to type as fast as I can on the Milestone 2. It's a very, very nice keyboard. So Those are the two phones I'd recommend you get for AT&T. For T-Mobile, the T-Mobile G2 is still a very good phone, and the Motorola Click 2, it's actually spelled C-L-I-Q, I think, the Click 2, that one works very well. For Verizon, the Droids are still the best ones, I think, and there is one from HTC coming out. It's called the Merge, I believe, and that one would work well. For Sprint, the Epic is still an option. However, in the 2.2 upgrade, Samsung has modified the stock applications considerably, and they have broken a lot of the accessibility. And I'm going to talk more about that when we get into the part on the differences between Android and iOS. It's still usable, but you'll either want to probably use mobile accessibility for things like call log and text messaging and things like that, or consider getting other apps from the market for that purpose, because they've modified the Android system considerably with their TouchWiz interface, as they call it, and a lot of the stuff doesn't read properly, particularly the call log, adding contacts, so that they've changed it considerably. So that is something to be aware of. However, the keyboard on the Epic is very nice. So if you're willing to work with it and find ways around what Samsung has done to the interface, which you can do, there are ways, then it is a very good option. Another one is the Samsung Intercept. That's a good choice. The HTC Evo Shift 4G is another good one. And they are coming out with a new one that's got a keyboard on it, so it will have some navigation controls also. And that is the Samsung Replenish, as it's called. It uses, it's made from recycled plastics, I think, and it can be recycled also when it's reached the end of its life. So that's another one to consider. So those are kind of the phone updates. Of course, if you want an unlocked one, if you're a fan of unlocked phones like I am, you want to go with the Nexus 1 perhaps, or the Milestone 2. So those are some good choices. A couple other just little Android updates here. There is now some touch screen access as far as navigation outside of mobile accessibility. If you remember on podcast number 2, I had said that within mobile accessibility, they've got their own touch gestures, but outside of that, you still need a navigational control. That is still true for a reason which I'll explain in a minute. But the new version of the TalkBack screen reader has a keyboard on it now that does provide a virtual D-pad, and that works throughout most of the entire Android system. You can swipe a finger up, down, left, and right to move in the appropriate direction, and if you tap the screen, it simulates pressing the Enter key. The problem is there's a bug in the Android framework that prevents this from working currently in menus, which is a big part of the Android interface, and in the notification areas. And notifications are important if there is an update to install, especially a system update on your phone. You need to click that. Also, the screen, when you hold the power button, it asks you, what do you want to do? Do you want to put it in airplane mode, silent mode, or power off the phone? Those screens, because of a bug in the framework, cannot be navigated using the touchscreen. So, unfortunately, you still need a navigation control. And that is, admittedly, one of the frustrations of Android. And again, I will talk more about that in the section on talking about the differences between Android and iOS. By the way, I've heard some people have asked me, too, if I'm on Twitter. Actually, I'm not, mainly because I don't really have time to do it. But secondly, I don't know. It's just something I never got into. I may at some point. But at this point, I'm not on Twitter or Facebook or any of those things. But that doesn't mean I'm far away or hard to reach. Certainly, feel free to to email me. I love getting feedback on these, and that's what it's inspired me to do podcasts 2 and 3 on Android. So definitely keep the feedback coming. I'll give my contact info at the end, as always, and feel free to contact me. Love to hear from you. So I think that covers the updates on phone recommendations and some of the accessibility updates for Android. So let's get into some of these differences between Android and iOS, particularly the iPhone in this case. That's what I'm going to be talking about specifically, because the iPods and the iPad really are in kind of a separate category. They're not phones per se. So I'm talking about phones specifically, although there are some tablets running Android that are coming out now. And I'm not sure how well those work as far as accessibility. I haven't tried any of them. So for our purposes, we'll be sticking with the iPhone, since that's what most of the comparison is about anyway. Well, before we talk about the differences, let's actually talk about some of the similarities between the two, because there are some. Okay, they're both smartphone platforms, and I've actually got both of these. I have an iPhone, and I now have 2 Android phones. So, you know, I use them firsthand, and I do switch between them sometimes. So they're both very good smartphone platforms, and even if you're blind, you can accomplish the same tasks on both platforms, whether it's phone calls, text messages, calendar, email, web browsing, third-party apps. You can do that on both platforms without problems. At this point, some of the specialty apps, for example, money identification and that type of thing, I think are only available on the iOS platform, or the iPhone, but that's not a limitation of the platform. That's just that an app hasn't been developed yet, and hopefully that will change. I remember hearing an interview with one of the people that created the LookTel money identification app for the iPhone, and they were saying with Android, you know, there's too many issues with it and things like that. And for any developers listening to this, I would suggest maybe go back and take a look at that again, because unless it's an issue with like the camera API or something like that, there's no reason why an app like that cannot be developed for Android now, even if it's self-voicing. And actually, for self-voicing apps that want to speak without using a screen reader, it's actually easier to do that on Android than it is on iOS in some ways. And I'll get into that as we talk about the differences. So, but you can accomplish all of the same tasks on both platforms. You just do it in a different way. There is also a learning curve on both of them. Some people think, well, that, you know, that iPhone is for people who just want it to work and, you know, may not be that technically inclined, and you really have to be a techie to learn to use Android. Not true. Both of them have a learning curve. If anything, and this isn't to put down on the iPhone, but I think in some ways that may actually have a bit more of a learning curve than Android, for the simple reason that to use VoiceOver on the iPhone, you have to learn the touch gestures. You have to interact with a touch screen, which may be something that's very new. Whereas Android, you're arrowing around up, down, left, and right, and you're pressing a key to make selections in most cases. Now, with mobile accessibility and, again, using the TalkBack virtual keyboard, you can do some touchscreen navigation throughout the rest of the Android OS. But in most cases, it's arrowing around and making selections, which if you've used a Symbian phone or Windows Mobile phone, that's not a new concept. But there is still a learning curve with Android, because you have to know where certain other buttons are on the phone, and it's a whole new interface. So there is a learning curve for both of them. So those are kind of the similarities. Let's get into some of the other differences, and again, whether this is an advantage or a disadvantage for you is up to you, and that's fine. Certainly, you don't have to agree with me when I say something might be an advantage or a disadvantage for one over the other, because it may not matter to you. So that part will at least be my own perspective. Let's first off cover a couple of the major things, and then I'll cover the ones I can think of in no particular order. First one is carrier. Android is available on all the major carriers. The iPhone is only available, if you want to go into the store and actually buy it, from AT&T and Verizon. Though it will work with T-Mobile also if you buy an unlocked iPhone, although unfortunately in this country you cannot buy them unlocked. You do have to probably get that online, and it's usually import. But if you get a factory unlocked iPhone, you can use it with T-Mobile also. The only carrier at this point that you really can't use an iPhone on is Sprint. Sprint uses CDMA technology, and that doesn't use a SIM card or anything like that, so it requires cooperation from the carrier. So you wouldn't be able to use it on Sprint, but it would be usable on the other three. So if you know the carrier is important to you, that's something to consider. Another major difference, of course, is the interaction. With the iPhone, for the most part, you're going to be using the touchscreen for everything, even when it comes to typing. And it's doable. It works fine. It works very nicely. Apple's done a great job of making that accessible. But if you do a lot of typing, a physical keyboard is going to be faster. There's just no way around that. And you can certainly pair a Bluetooth keyboard with an iPhone, but then you're carrying around another device. And that's fine if you're willing to do that. But, of course, there are some Android phones that have built-in keyboards where you just slide it out and type away. So if you do a lot of typing or having a physical keyboard is important to you, Android is probably what you're going to want to consider first. Another difference, and this one is really, again, it may or may not be important to you, but it's something to think about. Apple has done a few things with the iPhone that are non-standard compared to everything else. For one thing, the battery is not user replaceable. It is, I think. You can get a kit to do it, but I think it's soldered in, and it's certainly not near as easy to replace as other phones where you just pop the cover off and pop in a new battery. It's not user replaceable. Secondly, the USB connector is not standard. It's a 30-pin connector, and obviously to connect it to a computer or a charger, you have to use that cable. And if your cable goes bad, you have to get a different one. And chances are you'll pay more for it than a standard USB cable. Whereas all of the Android phones that I've seen use mini USB connectors, which is very standard and very, very much, you know, easy to get. I've got a ton of those cables sitting around here from different things. And, you know, I just grab one when I need to, and there you go. But for the iPhone, you have to use Apple's cable. The third one, and this one really is probably the most, what's the word? I don't know, serious is the word, but the most annoying, let's say, out of the three. This doesn't apply to the Verizon iPhone, this last one. It just does for GSM phones. But the iPhone 4 does not use the same kind of SIM card that every other phone that I know of uses. It uses what's called a micro SIM, which is a smaller version of a SIM card. And as far as I know, no other phone at all uses that. Every other phone uses the regular SIM card. So if you already have a SIM card and you want to use an iPhone 4, you have to do one of two things. Either switch SIM cards, get a micro SIM, or there is a cutter you can get that basically will cut a regular SIM card, although I'd be kind of leery of doing that. That's why I've still got the iPhone 3GS. I haven't upgraded to a 4, because the 3GS takes a regular SIM card. But there are cutters that you can get that will cut a regular SIM card to a micro SIM size. So then it'll of course go in the iPhone 4. Now, what do you do if you want to put that micro SIM into a regular phone and switch between them? That's one of the good things about GSM, the GSM standard in general, is your phone number is stored on a SIM card and you can swap it between phones. Well, there are adapters that you can get that you put the micro SIM in and it converts it to a regular sized SIM card to go into a regular phone. But that's just, that's extra work that's really not necessary. And why Apple chose to do that, I have no idea. There's no advantage to it. A regular SIM card would have easily fit in the iPhone 4. So it just, it complicates things. That's one of those things where there's no advantage to doing it. There's only disadvantage for Apple to do that and use the micro SIM. So that is something to think about if you know, want to use more than one phone. So those things kind of cover some of the hardware differences. Let's talk about some of the software and platform differences in general. And then we'll get into accessibility specifically. With Apple, of course, iTunes is your main way of backing up the content on your iPhone, whereas Google, everything is in the cloud. So there's no desktop software to deal with Android. For me personally, I like that better, the cloud-based, because you can enter something, for example, on your calendar. You can go to Google's page, sign into your account, and enter something with your desktop computer, and that will then show up on your phone, assuming you have it set to sync that. You can turn that on or off. And there's no need to mess around with, you know, connecting the phone to the computer. Now, you know, if you don't mind doing that, that's fine. But I just think the cloud is much easier. And Apple does that, I think, with their Mobile Me service, but they charge like $100 a year. Now, rumor has it that the next version of iOS, version 5, is going to be more cloud-based. We'll see if that happens. Apple kind of keeps things under the rug, as it were, until it's released. So we'll see if that happens. But Google is cloud-based, whereas Apple, at this point, you use iTunes, the desktop software, for your syncing and your backup and things like that. Another difference is Android is much more open. Developers have a lot more freedom to do things that Apple may not permit on their platform. Prime example of this happened with the Sony e-reader application. I don't know if they ever got that resolved or not, but for a while, at least, Apple rejected it. They didn't permit that application because you were able to purchase books, I think, within the application, and it didn't, basically, it wasn't an in-app purchase, so Apple didn't get their 30% of it. So with Apple, it's basically you do it our way or you don't do it at all, whereas Android, the developers have a lot more freedom. It doesn't really have to go through an approval process. Now, of course, there are good and bad points to that. The good points is apps get posted quicker. They're not limited as much. But the disadvantage is it's possible, and it did happen earlier this year, where there were some apps that had malware on the Android market. And there are ways, though, having said that, to get around that, for the most part. In Apple's case, when you install the app, when you install different applications, it doesn't really tell you what the application wants to access. You install applications and you just assume that Apple has done all of their checking and that the app is okay. Whereas on Android, what it gives you when you install an application, whether you do it from your desktop web browser or from the phone itself, it tells you what permissions the application wants to access. And it's important to read that carefully. If you're installing, let's say, a media player, for example, that plays music, and if that application is requesting permissions to have access to your contacts and that type of thing, that should raise a red flag. there's no reason for a media player to have access to that kind of information. So you need to read the screen carefully. And if you do that, you should be fine. There should not be a problem with you getting malware on your phone or anything like that. So, you know, that just gets down to common sense, I think. When it comes to apps, also, the way you go about, or the way you can, I guess I should say, go about finding and installing apps is a little bit different. With the iPhone, you do it on the phone itself, or you do it with iTunes, and then you sync it to the phone. With Google, with Android, you can do it on your phone, or, and I love this, this is really cool, and I demonstrated this on the first podcast, you can go to your computer, sign into your Google account, and you go to market.android.com, and you can browse for apps. And if you find one you want to purchase or install, then you select it and you make your payment if needed. And the application is automatically pushed to your phone and it installs. And then there you go. There's no need to connect it to the computer or anything like that. And I should mention too, and I discovered this when I got my Milestone 2, that the apps you have purchased are stored in your Google account. So when you get another phone, once you sign into your Google account and you go to the Android market, if you go to the My Apps screen, it lists all of the apps there that you've purchased, and you can simply select each one and choose to install it on the new phone. Again, no need to connect it to the computer. So it's all kept in your Google account for you. Another difference is a GPS. If GPS is a big thing for you, here I think Android has the advantage because it's free. Android provides free turn-by-turn directions along with finding out what places are close to you. Now on iOS, on the iPhone, that's free also. You can do a search on the Google Maps application that's on the iPhone, or you can download an app called Around Me, which is also, by the way, on Android also. But if you want the turn-by-turn directions to an address or to places that will, that'll guide you turn-by-turn on the iPhone, you're gonna pay for that. It's a paid application. There are some good ones, but it's not free. Whereas on Android, it is free, and the search is quite extensive on Android. The other day, I actually had a dentist appointment. And out of curiosity, I thought, I wonder if Google would know where that is and how to find it. So I typed in my dentist's name, and then I put space in the word dentist just in case there was more than one person with that name. And it came up and said, "Well, did you mean this or this?" And it found it had it. It knew it. So I selected the one that was the right one, and I got turn by turn directions right to the place. I don't think some of the other GPS systems have that extensive information. They could. I'm not totally sure on that, but it's really cool that Google does. And again, it's free. The GPS stuff is all free on Android. So that's another difference. So those are some of the differences as far as the platforms in general. Now, of course, what we're interested in more than other people would be is the accessibility and how accessibility works on both platforms. So let's talk a little bit about that. Actually, before we get into accessibility, there is one more difference I want to talk about. And I think for this one, the advantage goes to the iPhone. Android is a bit more fragmented. And what I mean by that is, when updates come out, for example, a new version of Android, the phones will not all get the update at the same time, and sometimes it can be months before the updates are released, and they're updated by each individual carrier and each individual phone. So, like when 2.2 came out, some phones, like the Nexus One, since that's a Google phone, they got it right away. On the other hand, the Samsung Epic on Sprint, just got it very recently after just about a year that it had been out. So one phone might get, you know, an update sooner than another one. So that I think is something Google does need to address. Whereas on iOS, on the iPhone, you know, when it comes out, it's available for all the phones. Now, with the Verizon iPhone, it's interesting because they're still on 4.2, I think, whereas 4.3.2 just came out for the GSM version. But for all of the GSM iPhones, they can get that update and install it. Whereas for Android, the updates, you know, may come out at totally different times. Another difference that I do want to point out, I'm kind of remembering these as we go here, with iOS and the iPhone, the interface is the same. Now, that can be a good or a bad thing. The home screen is the same. There's only one home screen. There is one on-screen keyboard, which works very well. You can move your icons around, certainly, but as far as, you know, differences there, it's all the same. And no other home screen can really be developed for that I know of. Whereas on Android, and this, the way Android does it is good and it's bad in some ways. It's good because you can download different home screens or different, you know, text messaging applications. So if you don't like the stock one, you can install a different one. That's what Mobile Accessibility essentially has done with Code Factory. They've developed a self-voicing home screen with 10 self-voicing apps that do things like phone and text messaging and the calendar and things like that. That type of thing couldn't really be done on the iPhone. Of course, on the iPhone, that all works fine, so it's not a big deal. But where it becomes a problem, though, on Android is these manufacturers, rather than just including the regular Android on their phones, they develop these what are called overlays on top of Android, and a lot of times that breaks accessibility, and you really can't remove it on a certain phone. The Epic, again, getting back to that, what I was talking about with the 2.2 version, it doesn't use the regular Android screens for a lot of the things, such as text messaging or contacts. Samsung has modified it quite a bit, and it's broken a lot of the accessibility. I think it's good that you can have that on Android. I think it's a problem, though, when it's forced on people. I think that the phone should come with the regular Android, and if people want those things, they can get them from the market and install them, but they should not be forced on people. That's how I think it should work. Whether that'll happen, I don't know, but that's how I think it should work. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about the accessibility differences, because that's going to be something that is going to be probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, you know, concern as far as the differences go. As far as that goes, the accessibility on the iPhone is, admittedly, it is more developed and more polished. There's no question about that. If you want to read by character, by word, with any text on the screen, assuming the application is developed in a somewhat standard way, you can do that. And all of the built-in applications are accessible out of the box. And, of course, a good majority of the third-party applications are as well. You also have access to all of the text that is on the screen for the most part. Again, assuming that the application doesn't use something really, really non-standard. I've seen a few applications where VoiceOver cannot read anything on the screen whatsoever if the application is really non-standard, but that's rare. So the accessibility APIs, application programming interfaces, on the iPhone are very good, and they work really well. That's not to say that Androids aren't usable, they are. But it's, again, a bit more fragmented. Before I get into that, let me explain a little bit about how the Android accessibility works. And admittedly, this still does need some improvement. It doesn't mean it isn't usable, because it is. It's very usable. But there are still some holes in it that Google does need to fix. The way the Android accessibility works is that when you do different things on the phone, when you navigate or when you select something or a new window appears, what happens is it generates what's called an accessibility event that the screen reader can detect and will speak the new information. However, what is not in the platform yet is there is no way for any screen reader to actually get access to all of the text on the screen. You can only read things that you can move system focus to. Here's a good comparison. On a computer, imagine your screen reader, of course, which a lot of us use. You know that on both Windows and on the Macintosh, the screen readers will read as you arrow around or use your tab and shift tab, go to menus and that type of stuff. You're just interacting with the system the way even a sighted person would. Even a sighted person can do all those things without using a mouse, and the system would work fine. And the screen reader tells you what you need to know, and you can carry on with your work. But there are also keys to review the entire screen. In JAWS, you've got the JAWS cursor. WindowEyes, you've got the mouse pointer. VoiceOver, you've got the VoiceOver cursor. What Android currently has is the equivalent of, imagine your computer screen reader without the review cursor. That's essentially what the accessibility on Android is currently. So what you might have, for example, is you might get an application where a window opens up with like a license agreement, but you may not be able to read the agreement. All you can do is click on the agree or the disagree buttons. Now, a developer can get around that by making the license agreement area what's called focusable, which means you can move system focus to it. But that's not really the best solution. So that's one area where Google does need to improve the accessibility API so that a screen reader has access to all of the text on the screen. Now, you would think that, and I did for a while even, that that's going to be a major problem, that most applications are not even going to be usable then, especially applications from the market. Believe it or not, that's not the case. I was very pleasantly surprised. That does not present a problem as much as you might think, and common sense would tell you that you would think it would. But having said that, it still is something that Google needs to improve on. Another difference is the built-in email program is not currently very accessible. The way around that is there's a third-party one on the market. It's free. It's called K9 Mail that works very nicely. So you can get that, and it works really well. Also, the built-in web browser is not accessible. Again, there are a couple of workarounds. Ideal Web Reader is free, and it works. It's okay. It's decent. and then, of course, Code Factory has their web browser within mobile accessibility, which is very good. And, of course, that one's not free, but it's a very, very good web browser. However, the other problem that you may run into, and again, I haven't seen it very much, is some applications will display their text in what's called a web view. You also see this on computers. If you ever see in Windows, if you're not using Internet Explorer, but some applications even, you'll notice that they have links and headings and things. They essentially use the browser engine on your computer to display text, or to display things in their programs. That's essentially a web view or an HTML view. On the Macintosh, it's anything that VoiceOver calls an HTML content area is a web view. And even the iPhone does it. iOS does it. Anytime you see applications, let's see, the WebMD app does this, and even in the iTunes store, it does it. Anytime you see links or headings or things like that, that's an HTML view. Those are not accessible at this point on Android. However, in Android version 3, Honeycomb, which currently is only running on the tablets, that has been fixed. So Google is getting there. So I guess what I'm saying is the accessibility on Android, while very usable, is still a work in progress, and there's still a few things that need to be improved on. But again, it's very usable, as you've seen with these two podcasts. So it is usable. Another difference, too, I just want to cover this, getting back to the difference between the iPhone and Android in general, is when it comes to copying music. And personally, I think this is better on Android, but that's just my opinion. A lot of people like the iTunes approach where you sync your library and things like that. But if you want to add music to the iPhone, you have to first add it to your library, and then you have to sync that with iTunes. Whereas with Android, just plug it into the computer, tell it to connect in mass storage mode, and copy the songs. And off you go. Another thing, speaking of that, is most Android phones can use memory cards. So if you store a lot of music or content, you can have different memory cards, and if you want to access something different, you can swap out the memory card. With the iPhone, you can't do that. If you run out of space, you either have to delete some things or get one with more storage, if one exists. So again, I think that personally, I like Android better a little bit with that. But again, that may or may not be important to you. And if it isn't, that's okay. So I think that covers all of the differences between the two. And again, what's important to one person may not be for another. I would say, though, that rather than make this such a heated discussion and bashing and putting down the other platform, let's be glad. I mean, there are two mainstream platforms that we have access to now for free, for the most part. I mean, if you want to get mobile accessibility, you can. And you can purchase that, but that's not required to use the Android system. There are two other free screen readers, TalkBack and Spiel, that will work very nicely. So mobile accessibility is an option, but it's not a requirement. But there are two platforms now that we can access, and that's only going to get better as time goes by, hopefully. So rather than bashing one platform or another, I mean, you have to use the one that works best for you. If the iPhone is, what you want and that, works for you, great. If you want a QWERTY keyboard built into the phone and you want a platform that's a little more open, then, go with Android. They're both very usable, and it's great that we can, go into phone stores and get phones that we can access. That's really the good thing. Who knows if Microsoft will ever make Windows Phone 7 accessible. They really dropped the ball on that one. And who knows if it'll ever happen. Although, I think it's not doing near as good as iOS and Android is for the for the market share. So Android's actually at the top right now, in U.S. at least, market share. So one other difference I want to mention with accessibility before we go into actually doing the demonstrations I had mentioned. With accessibility, and again, Google needs to improve on this, and that is coming, hopefully, is that for accessibility at this point, you do need sighted help to enable it. If you do it at the store or something, it's not a big thing, but you will need sighted help to enable the accessibility, whereas, of course, on the iPhone, you can enable it through iTunes. They're actually working on... There's an alternative firmware or an alternative version of Android. It's called a Cyanogen. Hopefully I said that right. And it's, since Android is open source, what this community has done is basically modified some of the stuff in Android, and that can be installed on several of the different phones. So you would essentially buy your phone, and then you would replace the firmware that's on the phone with this Cyanogen firmware. It is a little complicated to install it, and I don't know if that can be done yet without sighted help. But the reason I mentioned it is what they are working on is that when you install this, your phone will come up talking, and you won't have to use sighted, you won't need sighted help to enable the accessibility. But again, that's something that Google really needs to improve, because this doesn't work on all phones, and you know, you may not want to root your phone, as it were, which basically allows you to access the entire system, not just the user storage area, and then, you know, go with installing another whole ROM on your phone. So that's, it's good that they're doing that, but Google needs to make that possible, that you can enable that without sighted help. So that's, that is another difference, that where the iPhone does get the advantage, no question about it. All right. That having been said, let's get into some of the demonstrations here. I know, again, I've given you a lot of information about some different things, but I did want to make, you know, this available, you know, to everyone, because that's also been a question on the list. Well, which one to go with? You know, the iPhone or Android? And the truth is, either one works. They just have a different approach. There are advantages and disadvantages to both of them, and hopefully the information I've given you here will help you to make an informed decision. I would say, though, better than any information that I could tell you, there's nothing like actually trying out a device. Most carriers will give you like a 30-day trial with different different devices. So go into the stores. You know, try the iPhone. Try some of the Android phones. And see what works for you. You know, get one and use the 30-day, you know, time period that you have to play with it and see what works best for you. That will tell you more than anything that I could tell you here. The information I've given you here, you know, is just, you know, my own. Well, again, the differences I've told you are factual, but as far as which one I think is better is just my own opinion. So definitely get out and try some of the devices. That's the best way to tell what's going to work best for you. Okay, so the first thing I want to show you, and I'm going to use my my Nexus One for this. And again, this phone has no QWERTY keyboard. It's just got the volume controls, the power button, and a trackball for navigation. I want to show you the speech recognition and how this works. This is really, really cool. The speech recognition itself is done by Google. It's a Google feature in Android. But what Code Factory's done with the mobile accessibility is they've made it very easy to access. So you don't need to have mobile accessibility to use this feature on Android, but it does make it a lot easier. And what it allows you to do is, rather than typing on a keyboard, whether it's on screen or a physical keyboard, you can just dictate what you want. You can do this in any text box. And what it will do is it'll then give you a couple of choices, you know, asking, you know, did you say this or that? And you select the one that is correct, and then it inserts that text into the box. Usually with this, you don't want to dictate a long thing at a time. Like for email, for example, you'd want to do a sentence at a time, probably, and then stop and insert it, because I think it only goes like for 10 or 15 seconds at a time for each one. So, and the recognition, usually the first option is the correct one. I was amazed at how accurate this thing is. It is awesome. As far as I know, on the iPhone, you can't do this currently. There is, of course, the Dragon application, but in order to use that, you have to dictate it into the Dragon app, and then you have to basically copy and paste the text into the application that you want to use, which is a lot of extra steps. Whereas with this, you can just dictate into wherever you're at. So let me go ahead and power up my Nexus One here. Take it out of the case. It comes in a little kind of a little case. The case almost looks like a something you'd hold like eyeglasses in or something like that. Take it out here, and we'll go ahead and press the power button, fire this up. And the Nexus is booting up. It'll take a moment. I don't have the other thing for the voice recognition, you do need to make sure you are connected to some kind of network, whether it's your cell network or Wi-Fi. You need to be connected to a network, because the phone doesn't do the recognition. It sends that to Google servers to handle that. So I don't have the SIM card in my Nexus at the moment, but that's fine. I will just turn on the Wi-Fi, and it should connect right up to my router. So that won't be a problem. And what we'll
do... Welcome to mobile accessibility.
Okay. I'm using a mobile accessibility for my screen reader and for my home screen at the moment. So what we'll do... I can't actually send a text message because I don't have my SIM card in there. I demonstrate that on the first podcast, though, typing one out and sending it. But we can certainly go into the messaging app and create one, and then we'll just discard it. Because the main thing I want to show you here is how the speech recognition works. But you can dictate the phone numbers and everything else. So it's really really nifty stuff. All right, let's go ahead and unlock the screen. And to do that, we slide our finger from left to right.
Mobile accessibility. Phone 1 of 10.
Turn my volume up a little bit here. Okay, so we're in the mobile accessibility interface with the 10 self-voicing apps that it provides. And where we want to go is, well, we could use the text messaging app, I guess, that's built into mobile accessibility. But let's go ahead and use the built-in text messaging app that's a part of Android itself. So what I'm going to do is arrow down to applications.
Com, SM, alarms, calendar 5, email, web 7 of, where am I, apps 9 of 10.
And select that.
List, apps, list, accessibility preferences 1 of 12.
Okay, I've actually got more than 12, it was probably still loading them, but I can arrow to the right here. And that will skip several items, and we want to get down to the messaging application.
Camera, mail 19 of 5, maps 28 of 57.
Okay, we're on maps there. Let's just arrow down now.
Market 20, messaging 30 of 57.
There we go. Messaging, select that.
Messaging, window, new message, compose new message, 1 of 1.
Okay. So that's... compose a new message. That's our only choice here. So I'm going to go ahead and select that in a second. The way this works, there's a couple things you have to do to get it to work. With the mobile accessibility, at least, you, I think the TalkBack keyboard, if you're using TalkBack, I think it's got an icon on the keyboard screen itself for a microphone. If you touch that, this will also work also. But I'm using mobile accessibility to do this. Once you have that installed, you go into settings, and I demonstrated this on the second podcast, but you go into settings and language and keyboard, and you check the option to enable the mobile accessibility keyboard as an input method. That's another thing with the openness on Android. Of course, you can have different input methods, and most of the time they're different, you know, on-screen keyboards and things like that. And then you would, once that's enabled, you would go to a text box. And then you would hold your selector, whether it's a trackball or the enter key or wherever it might be. You hold that down for a second or two, and again, that brings up the context menu for whatever item you have selected. And you'll have a choice here that says input method. Select that, and then choose the mobile accessibility keyboard. And then that will become your default input method. Now, if you want to use this on a phone that has a QWERTY keyboard, you want to make sure that the keyboard is closed, because most of the time, if the keyboard is open, it will not activate the soft keyboard or the software keyboard on screen, because it figures, well, if you've got the hardware keyboard open, you don't need the on-screen keyboard, which is a logical conclusion. So you'll want to close the hardware keyboard in order for this to work. All right. So what we're going to do here, let's do a text message. And what I'll do is I'll make up a bogus number that we could send this to, and then we'll enter that, and then I'll go into the area where you can type a message, and we'll do a bunch of different things that we can say, and we'll see how the recognition, how well it does with this. So that'll give you an idea of how it works. It's very accurate. I was very surprised. So what we're going to do, my screen is locked, so let me unlock that.
Unlock window. 6:30 messaging. Window.
Okay, so I'm still on that first item, composing.
New message. Compose new message.
Okay.
1 of 1.
So I'm going to click that.
Messaging. Keyboard open. Lowercase mode.
And it opens the keyboard. Now, to use the speech recognition on this, what you do is you hold the volume down key, and you'll feel the phone vibrate, and that's when you can speak. And then when you're done, you let go of the volume down key, and then it will give you the choices for what you want, what you meant. So I'm just going to make up a phone number here. I don't know. I got it. We'll just do that weather number I called on the first podcast at 314-321-2222. So I'll just press the volume down key here, and we'll say that. And it seems to know that you want numbers, because it doesn't seem to type them as words. And once the text is entered, the accessibility has gotten to the point on Android now where you can read by character. When you're in a text box, you can arrow left and right and read character by character, so you can tell what you typed. So let's go ahead and give this a try. Well, my screen locked. Let me unlock that again.
Unlock window. 6th messaging. Window. 2. 1 of 3. Connection error.
Oh, connection error, yeah.
2 of 3.
I did not turn on my Wi-Fi. Let me go do that.
Keyboard closed.
Forgot that. Let's
settings 10 of apps 9 of 10.
Do that.
List apps. Camp map places 37 of 57.
Let's go into settings.
Radio settings. Skype 40 settings 40 of 57. Call set wireless and network settings. Window. Airplane Wi-Fi. Turn on Wi-Fi. Airplane mode. Checked. 1 of 8. Wi-Fi. Turning on. Checked.
There we go. So Wi-Fi, it says it mispronounces it, but it's Wi-Fi. Okay, yeah, because again, you do have to have a connection for that to work. And okay, now that I've got my Wi-Fi turned on, we should be in good shape. Let's go back to the home screen.
Mobile accessibility. Settings 10 of apps 9 of
back
10.
Back to messaging.
Apps. Camp places 37 of maps 28 of market messaging 30 of 57. Messaging. Window. New message. Compose new message. 1 of 1. Messaging. Keyboard open. Lowercase mode.
All right. Now let's give this a try. 3, 2.
3, 2, 1 of 9.
Yeah. See, I wanted to do 314, so I said the wrong thing there. Okay. So it's got a bunch of choices on the screen there. But if none of those are what you want, you just press the volume down key again and start over. So let's try this again. 314-321-2222.
314-321-2222, 1 of 7.
So it's got 7 choices here. The first one is probably what we want, but let's just arrow down and see what else we've got.
314-321-2222, 0, 2 of 7. 314-321-2222, 3 of 7. 31,432,122 to 2, 4 of 7.
Yeah, so the first one I'm quite sure is what we want. Let's go ahead and select that.
314-321-2222, 1 of 7. Space.
Okay, and it's inserted it. Now let's go back and read this.
Space.
And see if it did it correctly.
2 of 3. 3, 1. Space. Space. 2, 2, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 3, 1, 4, 3, 2, 1, 2, 2, 2, 2.
And it does insert a space after it, but that shouldn't be a problem because that way you're ready to insert your next thing. So there we go. the phone number is inserted that we've said here, and we didn't type a thing. All right, let's go down and have a little fun with some things we could say in the message. Arrow down to the text area here.
Type to compose, edit field.
Okay, type to compose, edit field. Let's see, what could we say? How about the first one? Why don't we say something like, "Hey, what are you doing? Want to go to lunch?" And you got to say the periods too, and the punctuation if you want them. So I will do that. But let's try this. Hey, comma, what are you doing? Question mark. Want to go to lunch? Question mark.
Hey, what are you doing? Want to go to lunch? One of two.
So how's that for accuracy? Let's see what the second one is.
Hey, what are you doing? When to go to lunch? Two of two.
When to go to lunch? Yeah, I can see where it might have thought that also, but it got it right. That's the first one is right. Hey, what are you doing? When to go to lunch? let's see. What else could we say? I don't know. Let's just try this. This is a demonstration of speech recognition, period. This is really awesome, exclamation mark.
This is a demonstration of speech recognition. This is really awesome, one of three.
And it probably, the other two are probably, if you wanted to put exclamation or explanation, it might have thought we said two. So that again, it got that right. Let's maybe try a couple more just for fun. So for writing email and stuff, you could fly through that. You know, you say a sentence at a time. Let's see. Here. Let's see. I don't know. What else could we say? Maybe we'll do one more. How about... here, let's try this. I'll say, I am demonstrating Android on a podcast. We'll see if it gets the words podcast, and we'll see if it gets that. We'll see if it gets that right. So we'll try that.
Messaging window. Two of three. Type to compose. Edit field.
Okay. I am demonstrating Android for a podcast. Period.
I am demonstrating Android for a podcast, one of seven.
Okay, and if we wanted to insert that, and let's say that is what we wanted in this case, we just select that. Let's look at some of the other choices just for fun.
Two of three. Type to compose.
I'm not sure why it lost that. Let's try that again. I am demonstrating Android for a podcast, period.
I am demonstrating Android for a podcast, one of six.
Okay, so if we just click on that.
Space.
Now.
Space. Dot.
Let's see if...
I am demonstrating two of four.
Let's see how it...
I am demonstrating Android for a podcast. Edit field. A. N. A. G. N. I.
I'm just going to go back to the beginning here, and we'll see if it wrote it right.
A. C. D. O. Space. A. Space A space G A space F space D.
Okay.
I O R D N A G N I T A R T A N O N.
Okay, we'll just start from here. I am demonstrating
M O S T R A T I N G space A. N D R O I D space F O R space A space P O D C A S A N D R O I D space F.
Oh, well, let's see.
O R A P O D C A S T dot.
Okay, it read some of those letters twice because I my finger slipped on the trackball. But yeah, there you go. I am demonstrating Android for a podcast. So all of those that we just did, it got it perfect on the first try. I mean, that is amazing. So for writing, you know, text messages and things like that, I mean, that is unbelievable how well that works. Let's go ahead and discard that message since we're not going to send this, actually. Just hit the menu key here.
Menu. At subject. Attach. Discard. 5 of 6.
We'll just choose discard.
Messaging. Keyboard closed.
There we go. So that's kind of how the speech recognition works as far as that goes. Now, let's try something a little more interesting.
Let's go into the web browser. Let's see if we can pull up, and I haven't tried this either. I haven't done this beforehand, you know, so it's something that's going to work well. So if anything doesn't work on it, you'll discover it the same time I will. Let's go into the mobile accessibility web browser, and let's try to pull up the weather.gov website. That's the NOAA weather. And let's see if we can get the weather for a zip code here.
And maybe we'll also try a search to search the page by voice, too. We'll see how that works. So let's hit the home button.
Mobile accessibility. Apps 9 of 10. Where am I? Web 7 of 10.
There's web. And select that.
Web. Downloading page.
And it loads the Code Factory
59.
Page by default.
Page has one frame, 5 headings, 271 elements, and 75 links.
Okay.
BibleGateway.com, a search of space. Bible Gateway.
All right,
space.
So, well, actually, the Bible Gateway is my page, I guess, at the moment. Or did I set that as a homepage? Maybe I did. Okay. In any case, let's go to the address bar. We'll hit the menu key.
Address bar 1 of 8.
And select that.
Address bar. Dialog. Address. Edit field. www.
Okay, it's got www already in there. I don't know if I have to open the keyboard here first, or if I can just hit the page down key, or the volume down. I'm just going to try the volume down key and just say the web page how you would say it, weather.gov. Let's see if it gets it. Weather.gov.
Weather.gov 1 of 5.
Let's see.
Weather.gov 2 of 5. Weather.gov OK 3 of 5. Weather.gov 1 of 5.
Okay, I'm going to try that first one because usually that's right. And I didn't have to open the keyword for it. Okay, so let's select that.
Address. Edit field. www.
Okay, that.
Dot.
That should have inserted. Let me try that one more time. Weather.gov.
Weather.gov 1 of 5. Space. V-O-G. Dot. R-E-H-T. List. Code fact. Clear favorites 2 of 3.
With this trackball, it's hard to move in a straight. Sometimes you end up moving down instead of left.
Add to favorites 1 address. Edit field. www.weather.gov.
That's right, though. That should be fine. Let's go ahead and press the trackball on that and load this page.
10. Page has one frame, 330 elements, and 369 links. NOAA's National Weather Service. This page link image skip navigation links. Table with 2 rows and 4 columns. Link image NOAA logo select to go to the NOAA homepage. National Oceanic and Atmospheric link image select to go to the NWS homepage. National Weather Service. Table end. Table with 1 row image. Link site map.
Okay, we can skip all this. Let's get to the form field. So what I'm going to do is hold my finger on the menu key, and that determines what the left and right arrow key does as far as what it moves to. You can just move item by item through the page, of course, by using up and down. But let's see.
Words. Characters. Headings. Lists. Tables. Forms.
All right.
Text. Check radio button. Not check radio button. Go. Text city. Street. Text.
Okay, that's the one we want. You can put it in a city or a zip code or that type of thing. So what I'm going to do here is open this text field, and I'm going to type in a local zip code, and we'll see if this speech recognition works for that, too. That'd be really cool. Let's see.
Enter text. Dialog. Edit field.
63139.
63139, 1 of 2.
And that's fine that I read it that way. It's just, that's the whole number, 63139, and that's fine because it's just a zip code. So let's go ahead and select it.
Text. Button go. Image. All NOAA. Button go. Image. Button go. All NOAA. Button go. Text. Button go. Combo box warnings by state. Combo box page has one frame, 330 elements and 306 text. Check radio, not check, button go. Text. Text. Enter text. Dialog. Edit field.
Okay, we'll try this one more time. I'm not sure why it keeps... I got a feeling my finger's slipping on the trackball. It's hard to keep that steady. I think that's what's going on. 63139.
63,139, 1 of 2. Space. Space, 9.
There we go. Okay, 3. Now we got it.
Okay, button.
Hit okay here.
Text 63,139.
Okay.
Text 63,139. Let's go ahead and button go.
Hit the go button.
Downloading page. 80. Page has one frame, 197 elements, and 46 links. 7-day forecast for latitude 38.6.
Okay, it got it. Yep.
Two rows, link image, now. NOAA logo, dash click to go to the NOAA homepage.
So that worked really well. Okay, now. Let's do a search. There's a thing on the page that says detail, and that's to get the detailed forecast. If we say the word detail, let's see if it finds that for the search. So we'll hit the menu key.
Address bar 1 of 8. Browser 2 of 8. Search the current page 1 of 6. Reload 16.
Oops, I clicked the wrong one again. Trackball kind of slipped.
Page has that's one right. Frame 257 day forecast for latitude. Address bar 1. Browser 2 of 8. Search the current page 1 of search dialog. Enter text to find. Edit field.
Okay, let's try this. Detail.
Okay, edit field.
Detail. I'm not sure why this one isn't working. Let me see.
Keyboard open. Okay, lowercase mode.
Now let's try it. Detail. Well, I'm not sure why that's not working on that one, because it should normally work. I'm not sure why it isn't in that text box. I may have to ask Code Factory about that. But well,
keyboard closed.
Let's see. I'll try it one more time here. Detail. No, it just that's odd.
Cancel. Link image NOAA that's odd.
I may have to ask them about that,
homepage.
Why that doesn't work. But, the other stuff worked. Certainly, homepage. You can, entering that into the form field worked. Typing in that address worked. So Google, it is smart enough to figure out that you're saying a web address. And again, what Code Factory's really done is just made an easy interface to the speech recognition. All that accuracy and that type of stuff, that's Google's doing. That's available to any app that wants to use it in Android. Code Factory just made an easy interface of it. Okay. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to pause this and I'm going to go grab my Motorola Milestone 2. And what I will show you there is how to update applications. I purposely waited to update a couple of apps to demonstrate that. And then we'll take a look at, I'll show you Amazon MP3. So I'm going to pause this and go grab the Motorola Milestone 2. All right. I've got the Motorola Milestone 2 here. And this is also running Android 2.2. And I'll give you a description of this phone, and this would also apply to the Verizon Droid 2, the same description. They're very similar. The only difference is the Milestone 2 is a GSM phone, whereas the Droid 2 is a CDMA. It's a good-sized phone. It's a little bit thicker because it has a hardware keyboard on it. What you've got is on the top, if you hold it in portrait mode, at least for now, most of the time, probably you'll be using the keyboard, so you'll want to use you'll be holding it in landscape when you slide the keyboard out. But you've got the power button on the top, and I'm pretty sure, it looks like there's a headphone jack right next to the power button. I'm pretty sure that's what that is. So you've got the power button on the top right, and then you've got the headphone jack.
Then moving around on the right side, you've got the volume up and down keys. Then on the left, going down farther on the left, you do have a hardware camera button on this phone. You can push it in part of the way, I think, and it focuses, or you push it all the way in and it takes the photo. On the left side of the phone, you have the micro USB port. And when we look at the Amazon MP3, I'll copy a song or two over to the phone, so we'll end up using that port. But that's kind of what the phone looks like as far as that goes. Now, if you turn it sideways, if you're holding it like I described before, with the power button on the top, you would turn the phone to your left, one quarter of a turn, and then you would slide it, slide the top up, and that will reveal the very nice hardware keyboard. I'll tell you where some keys are, and actually there's an application too that I'll show you that will tell you what most of the keys do without actually doing anything, so you can learn your keyboard. But I'll tell you where some of the more important ones are to give you a head start on this phone for anybody that's using it. The arrow keys, the four arrow keys are on the very right of the phone. You have kind of what you'd expect on a regular arrow pad. So the very bottom right key, the very bottom right key on the phone, on the keyboard, is the right arrow. Then moving to the left is the down arrow key. And then moving to the left again, you have the left arrow key. And of course, the up arrow key is above, the up arrow is above down arrow. Now, right next to the up arrow key, which would then be on the second row from the bottom, so it would be second row from the bottom, very far right key. That is your select key. That's what you do to click on things. You'll also notice there's a key right above that, a bit larger. That is actually the enter key. In most cases, they have the same function, enter and select, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't always respond the same way, so you'll probably want to use the select key for most things. If you find the space bar, you'll notice right to the left of that, that is the at key, which will come in handy for signing into your Google account and for entering email addresses. The other key that I want to show you, it's the key on the bottom row on the very left. That is your kind of alt or function key. What this does is when you hold it down, it causes most of the keyboard to do other characters, symbols mostly. And I think if you press it twice, it locks it. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. But in any case, in combination with that key, the top row, which is normally your top row of letters, but in combination with that key, the alt key, that's how you get your number row. So that's also handy to know. Also, if you're in a list, like for example, in like your settings or your list of ringtones or things like that, you can jump to the top or the bottom of the list quickly. And this applies to any keyboard phone, I think, with Android. If you hold that key and press up or down arrow, that will take you to the top or the bottom of whatever list you happen to be in. This phone, it's actually kind of interesting because it didn't have a talkback or spiel or anything on it when you first get it, but it does have a little something that Motorola actually came up with, which is kind of interesting. It's called Voice Readout. It's not as good as what talkback or spiel gives you, but it is enough to get you going. So what you would do with this particular phone, whether it's, again, the Droid 2 or the Milestone 2, you would just have a sighted person go under settings and then accessibility and then check accessibility. They just select that, touch it on the screen, and then turn on voice readouts. And once that's done, your phone will start to talk. And then from there, you'll be able to do the rest yourself as far as going into accounts and sync and entering your Google information, and then you can you can go to the market then and you can install TalkBack, Spiel, or mobile accessibility, or all of the above. You can have them all installed. That's how I've got mine, and you can switch between them. And then you can also grab the Eyes-Free shell, which I showed you on the first podcast. So you can certainly do all that once the initial accessibility is turned on. So let's go ahead and power up this phone. I'll press the power button for a second or two here. And the first thing we'll do is I'll show you how to update apps. All right, this phone is booting up. It's got, looks like a circle in the middle of the screen. I don't know if that's a Motorola logo or what that is. It looks a little bit different than what the Nexus One looks like when it boots. So this one takes a little bit longer to boot, actually, than the Nexus does. So once it does, we will be on the lock screen again, and I'll have to connect to my Wi-Fi network because I don't have the SIM card in this. My SIM is actually in my iPhone at the moment, again, because I do switch between them. Okay, this is booting up still, and it'll kind of make a notification sound, too, when it boots. There, it vibrated. It's almost done. Got a pretty good speaker on it, too.
Welcome to Mobile Accessibility.
Okay, so we heard Samantha saying, welcome to Mobile Accessibility, and then it kind of did a notification sound there. Okay, so let's unlock this. I'm going to go ahead and slide the keyboard out, too. By the way, on most of the Android keyboard phones, when you slide the keyboard out, the screen does switch to landscape mode, which is correct, because then the way you hold the keyboard, that would be the appropriate thing to do. So I'm going to unlock this.
My accounts. Window. Enter email address.
Okay.
Edit field.
Yeah, it's not connected to a network at this point, so it wants me to enter my account stuff, and I will do that. It's actually amazing how fast you can type on this thing with this keyboard. I never thought I'd be able to type so fast on a keyboard. So I'm going to enter the email address for my Google account, which is my email address, which if you want to contact me too, and I'll give it again at the end, it's my ham call, n0oxy@charter.net. So I'm going to go ahead and type that in here. So there's the N. Now to type the zero, we hold that Alt key and then we press the key. On the top row, it's not the far right one. That's your backspace key, but the one right to the left of that. So if we hold the Alt key and do that.
Zero.
Here we go. All right, now I'll just type the rest of this, and again, you can see how fast it is.
O-X-Y.
Hit the at key, which is to the left of the spacebar.
At.
And then...
C-H-S.
Whoops. Kind of holding the phone slanted a little bit so you can hear the speech.
S-H-C.
Hit the backspace. Okay, let's...
C-H-A-R-T-E-R.N-E-T.
Okay, and we hit the down arrow key.
Edit password.
There's the password field, which it won't say. So I'm going to type in my password. And I can even without having it spoken, I can still do that on this keyboard without making a typo. That's how good this keyboard is. All right, that should do it. Let's arrow down.
Reset password. Button. Login. Button. Login. Mobile accessibility.
Well,
phone 1 of 10.
I hit login, but it's not going to be able to log in yet because it has no data connection. But it will in a moment. Okay, so I'm on the mobile accessibility screen. I'm just going to hit the down arrow key.
Contacts to SM. Where am I? Apps 9 of 10.
Hit apps, hit enter. Or select, I should
apps.
Say.
Apps. List.
Okay. Now, since I've got a hardware keyboard on this phone, I can just press S to get down to the settings.
Settings 48 of 67.
Yeah, and hit enter. Hit the enter. I call it the enter key, but it's really not enter. Enter is a different key. It's the select key on this.
Settings, window, wireless and networks, 1 of 17.
That's what we want. Let's select that.
Wireless and network settings,
and
window.
Let's arrow down one
airplane
time.
Wi-Fi. Turn on Wi-Fi. Not
there we
check.
Go. And turn that on.
Check.
And there we go. And in a moment, it should be connected to my router. And then it may even put up a notification that says that there are updates available once it connects. So now I'll be able to show you how to update apps. I think there's like two or three that... need to be updated. So let's hit the home button. Oh, let me tell you the layout of the four function keys there on Android, because again they come in different order on this phone. You have, let's see, menu on the left, then home, and then back, and then search. Search always tends to be on the far right. So
Okay. Let's go ahead and I should be connected to my router by now. Let's go ahead and press the home key here.
Mobile accessibility. Apps 9 of 10.
Turn the volume up slightly on that. This thing.
Settings 10 of 10.
There we go.
Apps
All right, so we hit
10.
Apps again.
Apps. List. 3G mobile hotspot 1 of 1.
3G mobile hotspot. You can actually use your phone as a wireless hotspot. Starting with Android 2.2, you can do that. Okay, let's hit M.
Manage SIM card 33 of 6, maps 34 of, market 35 of
market
67.
Market is what we want. We press select on that.
Market. Window.
And it takes a second to load. And the first screen you come to is it gives you, like, the current top apps.
Updates are available. Updates available. KLM. Free. KLM Koningklitsch Glutschtvert Mach Gorilla Bob. Us 2. Sports Illustrated Front Row. Gun Bras. Free.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, and it did put up a notification there saying that updates were available. So to get to the screen that has all your apps, the easiest way to do it is to press the menu key, which I will do.
Menu. Search.
And
one of four.
Remember, the menus and screens on Android are not just up and down. You got to go up, down, left, or right. In this case, you arrow to the right to get to My Apps.
My Apps. Two of four. Market. Window. NPR News. Update. NPR. 1 of 34.
Okay, so NPR, that's a nice app. That's also available on the iPhone, too, but NPR works really well on Android. Let's see what all we have to update here.
Ice Free Shell. Update manual. Tune in radio. Update Google Maps. Installed.
Okay. Yeah, if it says Google install, if it says an application, then it says installed. That just means there's no update for it. If, when you first get a new phone and you don't have the apps installed, if you go to the My Apps screen, it'll say, like, purchased. And then you can install it from there. So there's a couple of ways to update this. If we just press the select key on one of these apps, we will get the same screen that we got that I showed you in podcast number 2, where it kind of gives you the description and there's an update button. And then it'll give you a window that says, you know, do you want to replace this app with the new version and that type of stuff. So the way I prefer to do it is to bypass all that stuff. Let's arrow back up to the first one.
To Ice Free NPR News.
NPR okay. News.
NPR.
Now remember that holding down the select key on an item for a second or two brings up a context menu for that particular item that is selected. So in this case, if we do that, which I'll do now.
NPR News. Details. Details. 1 of 4.
So we got the pop-up menu. We got details.
Open application. To update. 3 of 4. Uninstall.
Uninstall. So if we do update, we'll skip all those other screens. It'll just download it and install it.
Update.
So
3 of 4.
There's update. We'll select that.
Market. Window. NPR News. Update. NPR. 1 of 34. Installing. Successfully updated NPR News.
And you might be able to hear that vibrate, too. It actually, I have the kickback feature enabled, too, which is another accessibility service, and it vibrates whenever the phone is doing something, so you can tell that it's working, which is a nice little thing. All right, let's go ahead and grab the next one.
Tune in radio. Update manual. Radio time incorporated. Tune
select,
in radio.
Hold the enter or the select key on that.
Open update.
Hit update.
Free of market. Window. Tune in radio. Update manual. Radio time incorporated. 2 of 34. Installing. Successfully updated tune and radio.
Okay, and we got one more, the Ice Free Shell. They just came out with a new one that allows you to actually, you can assign shortcuts if you use that home screen to not just apps, but like contacts and other things.
NPR News. To Ice Free Shell. Update manual.
All
Ice
right.
Free Project. Ice Free Shell. Details. Update. Uninstall. Update. 3 of 4.
There we go.
Market. Window. Ice Free Shell. Update manual. Ice Free Project. 1 of 34. Installing. Successfully updated Ice Free Shell.
It says update manually. You can set whether an application is updated manually, or you can set it that it just automatically updates, which is convenient. I like to do it manual. I don't want my phone just grabbing things without me knowing about it. So I have mine all set to manual to do that. So so there's that. The applications are now all up to date, so that's taken care of. Okay. Let's take a look at Amazon MP3. This is a very nifty application. Let's go back to the home screen here and press the home button.
Mobile accessibility.
Okay.
Apps 9 of 10.
What I have to do first, I want to copy a couple of files over.
Notifications. 1 of 1.
What I need to do is go grab a USB cable. I'm going to hit the power button here briefly so it locks my screen. There we go. Okay. I'm going to pause this. I need to grab a USB cable, one of the micro USBs, that I can connect this phone to my computer with. And then we'll go ahead and copy some music over. And I already showed you in the first podcast the regular stock Android music player, which works fine. But I'll show you how Amazon MP3, how that player works. So I'll go ahead and pause this briefly. All right, we're back on the recording here. By the way, when I was talking earlier, when I was comparing the differences and I was talking about the USB cables, I think I said it correctly, but I don't remember if I did say micro USB or mini USB that most Android phones use. It is micro. It is micro USB. There is a difference. Micro is even smaller than mini. Mini USB is used on all of the book players, like the Victor, the Plextalk, the Bookport Plus, and the BookSense. Those all use mini USB, whereas most of the cell phones use a micro USB. So I don't know if I said mini or micro earlier, but it is micro USB that all the phones nowadays use, except for the iPhone, again, which they insist on using a non-standard connector. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to plug this into my Macintosh, sitting in front of one of my Mac Minis. Okay, and what we will do is I will connect this then to the phone. Now, this phone actually has a couple other features that the Nexus doesn't have. There's a couple different ways you can have this connect. You can do mass storage, of course, which is what you would normally use, but there are a couple of other ones that are used for some other things, like I think it's for media sync or something like that, so there's a couple other functions. So I'm going to go ahead and connect this. Helps if I put it in, right? Turn it around. Here we go.
Connection. Unlock window.
Okay.
7-8 p.m.
So it says USB connection, and I'm going to unlock the screen again.
Mobile accessibility.
Okay.
Phone 1 of 10.
Now, to get this to actually connect, we have to get to the notification screen, and there's a couple of ways to do it. If you're using mobile accessibility or the default launcher for Android, you can access it from the menus. If you're using like the ice-free shell or something else, you need to slide your finger from the top of the screen to the bottom, and that should open it. But in this case, I'm in the mobile accessibility home screen, so I'm just going to hit the menu key.
Date and time 1 of 6.
And go down to notifications.
Phone state show system notifications 3 of 6.
And select
emergency
that.
Calls only. USB connection. Select to manage your USB connection. 1 of 1.
And it says emergency calls only. I think actually, I'm not sure if it's actually in the airplane mode or not, but again, I don't have the SIM card in this phone at the moment, so that's all it would do. But okay, let's go down to, there is only one USB connection. So if I click on that.
USB, window, none, 4 of 4.
And it's asking, okay, how do you want to connect? Now, if you just want to charge the phone on your computer and you don't want it to connect, then just leave it at none. And it will remember the last setting that you've got. In this case, I want to change that, so I'm going to let's see what else we've got here.
USB mass storage, 3 of 4. Windows Media Sync, 2 of 4.
Yeah, so Windows Media Sync, that's like if you're using Media Player.
Motorola Phone Portal, 1 of 4.
I'm not sure exactly what that does. I guess Motorola's got their own software that you can get somewhere. But USB mass storage is what we want, so I'm going to go ahead and select that.
USB mass storage, 3 of 4.
And then once you've selected it, you have to go down, I think, and select OK. Let's see.
No. OK. Button.
Yeah, you got an OK cancel. And a cancel, so
okay.
We just click OK
button.
Here.
USB connection. Mobile accessibility. Phone 1 of 10.
And it should be connected. It should show up as a drive now.
Selection replaced.
There it is.
Your item selected.
It took it a second. Okay. And now that should show up on my desktop. So let's copy. What could we copy here? Rather than music this time, let's copy a couple of old radio shows. The Shadow. That's a good one. Let's do that.
Avian Finder.
So,
no name. Select no name.
So I've got the Macintosh hard drive, of course, on my Mac, and then I've got no name, which is because I don't have a title on my memory card. By the way, this phone, the Milestone 2,
And I assume the Droid 2 is the same. It's got 8 gigs of internal storage for apps and things like that, and then it comes with an 8 gig micro SD card. So you got quite a bit of space. The Nexus 1 comes with a 4 gig card, I think. So let me open up my hard drive.
Selected, open, now in window, Macintosh HD, list view, table.
And I've got a folder on my drive called Old Radio. Just hit
Old Radio.
Open that.
Open in this window.
And I've got a couple of, I got the Shadow, I got the Whistler. That's another good one.
Shadow, folder, Whistler, folder.
Let's do the Shadow in this case.
Shadow, folder.
Open that.
Open in this window, list view.
And we'll just skip down here a little bit.
025, the Silent Avenger. 029, the Firebug. 033, aboard the Steam. 034, Murders in Wax. 035, Message from the Hills. 037, Tanner with the Broken.
That's a good one, Tanner with the Broken Voice.
08039, the Tomb of Terror. 0838,
that's a pretty good one, too.
040, Death Under the Chapel. MP.
Oh, yeah.
041, the Caverns of Death. 0930. 042, Traffic and Death. 09.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. Let's copy that. We'll do two. We'll copy two of them. These two. So we'll do
041, The Caverns of Death. 0938.
The Caverns of Death and then Traffic and Death. That's a really good one. So to select two at once, of course, on the Mac, we got the first one selected. We just hold the Shift key down and arrow down once.
042, Traffic and Death. 0925.38.mp3 was added to selection. Two rows selected.
There we go. And we'll just hit Command-C to copy it.
Copy two items.
Okay. Now we'll do Command-W to close this window and go back to the desktop.
Close window. Now in.
Now I'll open up that no name, which is my memory card.
Open. Now in window. No name. List view. Table. No selection.
Probably if you're going to copy a bunch of stuff, you're probably going to want to make a folder because you can only have a limited number of files in the root. But since I'm only copying two in this case, I'll just paste them on the root folder of the card. So I'm gonna just do Command V here to paste.
Paste items. Two rows added. Now in.
And it's already copied. Okay. So there we go. Now we'll do Command W to close the window.
Close window. Now in desktop.
Okay. To eject this, there's a couple of things you'll want to do. On the Mac, you do Command E on it. On Windows, you would probably use the Safely Remove Hardware to eject this.
Map no name.
So highlight no name and do Command E.
Eject was removed from selection. Zero item selected.
Now, I don't know if you can just unplug this. There is a command, though, to actually disconnect it from the USB. And that's probably the best thing to use. So let me unlock this.
Unlock window. Mobile accessibility. Phone one
and go back to notifications.
Date and time 1 of phone. Show system notifications 3 of 6. Emergency calls only. USB connection. Select to manage your USB connection. 1 of 1.
And I will do that.
USB. Window. USB mass storage. 3 of 4.
Okay, I guess you could just unplug it, but I'm going to set it back to none. That should hopefully disconnect it from the computer then.
None. 4 of 4.
Here we go. And
okay.
Let me go to OK.
Cancel. OK. Button. OK. Mobile. Preparing SD card.
And it
contacts.
What it does when you connect it to the computer, it basically unmounts the SD card from the phone itself, so that the computer can access it, and then when you select none there, you tell it to disconnect it, it remounts the SD card. All right, so we can disconnect this from the computer now. So I will do that.
No, it's connected.
One of one.
Okay, now let's go ahead and open up the Amazon MP3 app, and this is a really cool application because what it does, not only can you purchase stuff, which I'll show you the store. I don't have anything I really want to purchase at this point, but I'll show you how it works. You can also play your files, but the other really nifty thing that Amazon did is you can store your files in one of two ways. You can either store them on your memory card, like I just did, or you can store it up on Amazon servers and have it cloud-based. So if you wanted to just stream you the music, it will do that. And if you purchase songs, too, on Amazon, you can have it either stored on their server or
have it downloaded to your car. And you can have it in both places. It's not one or the other.
So you can do either or both, as it were. Okay, so let me
unlock
this. Let's go to applications.
Where am I? Apps 9 of 10. List. Apps. List. Accessibility prep. Accolaner. Accounts 4 of. Alarm and timer. Amazon MP3 6 of 67.
And let's open that.
Amazon MP3. Window. Artists. Button.
Okay, so I think I'm in the store at this point.
Unknown. Artists. Unknown. One album.
Yeah, so let's go back to the home screen. We'll hit the menu key.
Menu. Home. 1 of 5. And the Amazon MP3. Window. Cloud Drive Music. On device music. Playlists.
Okay.
Artist. Player. Button. Store. Button. Player. Button.
So we got player is where
store.
We would go
player.
In this case.
Button. Player. Amazon MP3. Window. Artists. Button.
Okay.
Unknown. One album. Two songs. 1 of 1.
Well, yeah, it's unknown because it's not... the way it works, there's no artist probably to that.
Artists. Playlists. Button. Artist. Albums. Songs.
So you got 4 buttons across the top. You've got these.
Artists. Playlists. Artists. Albums. Songs. Button.
There we go. So songs would be what we would want in this case, because they're not actually songs, but we want it to give us just each file.
Unknown. 1 album. 2 songs. 1 of 1.
And we have to select that.
Amazon MP3. Window. Cloud Drive Music. On device music. Playlists. Artists. Albums. Button. Card. Unknown. 2 songs. 1 of 1.
Yeah, that's what we would want. Okay.
Amazon MP3. Window. Unknown. Albums. Songs. Amazon 041 The Caverns of Death 0938. 1 of 2.
Okay, so if we click that, then it should play it for us. Let's see.
Amazon MP3. Window.
There we go.
Image.
Yes. Okay. Now we have some other buttons on this screen here we can do.
2 of 8.
The shadow. Image. 2 of 1. Is in reality.
Repeat toggle. Repeat off or repeat all songs or repeat.
You may not be able to hear the speech. You got a repeat toggle.
Next song.
Next song.
Play song toggle.
Play song toggle. That probably is play and stop.
Previous song.
Previous song.
Shuffle now playing toggle.
Shuffle.
Play song toggle. Play song toggle.
Okay, I just hit the play song toggle. Yeah, so that plays and stops. So
button.
That's how that works. So there's a few unlabeled buttons up there. I'm not sure what those do. That is actually the biggest issue with accessibility on Android. It's not the navigation that's the issue. It's buttons are not labeled. So it just says button or image, and you don't know what it does. Google has taken actually some steps to help with that in the development guide, which basically is, you know, for how to program in Android. There is a whole section now on accessibility, and it basically says how to make your program accessible, and it does say that, you know, you should do it. So Google is definitely moving in the right direction. It's just not moving quite as fast maybe as we would want sometimes, but it is getting there. I mean, as you can see, this stuff, all the stuff I've shown you pretty much on this one, well, the speech recognition, again, the interface, the easy interface was mobile accessibility, but you can do that with other things too, the Google speech recognition. But this stuff, you know, the Amazon MP3 and all that stuff, you can do that just fine with TalkBack or Spiel. You don't need mobile accessibility for that. Okay, let me unlock this again.
Window.
Now,
Amazon MP3.
I want to go and delete this stuff from my card now that I've shown you how the player works, kind of.
Image.
So to do that,
2 of 8. Button.
Let's go back with the back key.
Amazon MP3. Window. Image. 041 The Caverns of Death.
And we hold down the select key.
041 The Caverns of
Death. And that should give us the pop-up menu.
Add song to now playing. Add song to playlist. View artist. Delete song. 4 of 4.
And that's what I want.
Confirm delete. Are you sure you want to delete the song 041 The Caverns of Death 0938 from this device? Yes. No. No. Yes. But yes. Amazon MP3. Window. 042. Button.
And we'll go ahead and delete the other one too here.
042 traffic and death 092538. Mm-hmm. Add song to now playing. View add song to view artist. Delete song. Confirm delete. Are you sure you want to delete the song 042 Amazon?
And I didn't wait for it to finish reading, so. Okay, now I'll show you the store. This is really cool because you can hear audio samples and everything else. Let's hit the menu key and go back to the home screen.
Menu. Home. One of Amazon MP3. Window. Store. Button.
Store is what we want. We'll go ahead and select that.
Store. Amazon MP3. Window. Image.
Okay.
Search Amazon MP3. 3 of 15. Bestsellers. Search Amazon MP3. Let's, 3 of 15.
Let's go ahead and do that. You got bestsellers. You got a couple other categories here. I'll show you. But
bestsellers. 5 of 15. Free song of the day. MP3 Daily Deal Album. 3. Button. Image.
Oh, again, this is a grid, so you got to go up, down, left, and right.
6 of 15. Image. 2 of 15. Free. 8 of 15. MP3 Daily Deal Album. 3.9. Free. 8 of 15. MP3 Daily Deal Album. Free. MP button.
Okay, so let's go up to search.
New release. Search Amazon bestsellers. Search image. Search Amazon MP3. 3 of 15.
Okay.
Bestsellers. Search Amazon MP3. 3 of 15.
So yeah, oh wait a minute, did I hit the right button? Yeah. Okay, so what should we search for? How about Journey? I'm a big fan of them. How about, let's see what they got for that. So I'm just going to type that in. Let's see.
J-O-U-R-N-E-Y.
Okay, let me move to the right.
Image.
And again, an unlabeled image, which that should really be labeled the search image. But usually in most search boxes, after you do your search, move to the right, and you'll be able to submit the search. So let's select that.
So Amazon MP3, window, loading, 1 of 1.
And it does the search. And again, you need a data connection for this.
1, 1, don't stop believing. 1.1.
Okay.
Don't stop with songs.
Now,
button.
You've got, again, your different tabs. You can look at, you can browse individual songs or albums. Let's look at albums. That's
albums. Button. Loading. 1 of 1.
Okay. And let's look around and see what we've got here.
1. Great 1. Greatest hits. 12.49. Journey. 8 of 16. Albums. Button. 1. Greatest 1. Greatest hits, 12.49, set 1.
Okay, so what you've got here is you've got kind of like a table. As you arrow up and down, you have the different album names, and then if you arrow to the right, you've got the price. Clicking on the price would be if you wanted to purchase it. So for now, let's just arrow down.
8 of 2, The Essential Journey, 16.99, Journey, 2 of 101, Free, Journey's Greatest Hits. 11.99. 4. Infinity. 9.99. Journey. 5. Frontiers. 9.99. 6. Raised on Radio. 5.7. Escape. 9.98. Escape. 9.99. Journey.
And that's interesting. They got it listed twice.
9. Evolution. 9.99. Journey. 10. Captured. 9.99. Journey. 11. Journey. 6.99. 12. Trial by Fire, 9.99, 13. Greatest Hits Live, 8.99, 14. Generations, 8.9, 15. Next, 7.99, 16. Look into the Future, 7.9, 17. Time 3, 24, 18. Arrival, 8.99, 19. Generations, 9.4, 20. Live in Houston, 1981, The Is, 21. Greatest Hits, 7.22, Journey into Meditation, Guided Meditations for Healing, Inside
okay.
Manifestation.
Well, that's something totally different, so it doesn't
Lisa
just
Guiman,
give you that artist, I guess. Now, what if we wanted to see what tracks were on some of these?
Live in Houston, 9, 8, 7,
let's do that. Let's go back up to maybe...
Next, 7.14,
Generations, 8, 13. Greatest Hits, 11. Journey, 10. 9. Evolution, 9, 8. Escape, 9.97. Escape, 9.99.
Okay, so let's say we wanted to see what songs were on that album and maybe get a sample. So you'd press select on that.
Amazon MP3, window, 1.29, 1. Don't Stop Believin', 1 of 10.
And you can also buy individual songs like that, too, from each album if you don't want the whole thing, so.
Escape, 4 of 13. Image, Escape, 4 of 1.29, 1. Don't Stop, 1.29, 2. Stone in Love, 2 of 10.
So what if we wanted to hear a sample of that? Well, we would just press the Enter key on that name of the song.
1.29, 30, 1.29, 28, 27, 26, 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 1, 10, 1, 0, 9, 0, 8, 0, 7.
Yeah, and it kind of counts down the sample.
0, 2, 0, 1, 1.29, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1.
And it gives you a sample of each one.
1.1, 1.1, 1.20.
I haven't found a way to really stop that other than, well.
Amazon MP3, window, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, 1.1,
I went back to the home screen there. Now, if you wanted to actually buy one of those things, one of the albums, you would just click on the price of it. You move to the right and click on the price. And then you would be able to purchase that. And then what it'll do is it'll ask you, do you want to download it to your phone or do you want to store it on Amazon's servers for streaming? And what Amazon gives it to you in is straight MP3. It's not DRM or it's not, you know, the iTunes from it. It's standard MP3, so you could essentially then copy them wherever you wanted to. So it's a really nice app, and it's very, very, it's very accessible. Let me show you one more app before I end this podcast. I didn't mention this in the beginning, but I'll show you one more since we updated it. The NPR app, National Public Radio. That's a really cool app. Let's hit the home button here. Let's see. Home on this. Okay, there we go.
Mobile accessibility settings. Apps 9 of 10. Apps.
Open that. Okay.
List.
We do
3G mobile apps. Navigation 39. News 40 of 6. News and weather. NPR News
NPR.
42 of 67.
Select that.
NPR News. Window. Obama. Ryan agree business tax codes need reform. The president and the Republican chairman of the House Budget Committee were on opposite sides of a heated debate this past week over the best way to cut the federal deficit. But Obama, Ryan agree business tax button. Appalachian history boxed up in shuttered museum. The Appalachian Cultural Museum, once housed at Appalachian State University, closed its doors for climate change making the nation's bears hungry. Late last year, researchers at the U.S. Geological Survey warned of a possible rise in grizzly bear attacks in Yellowstone National Park. Writer Paul Zlotaroff says the bears are on the hunt for food. Philadelphia Orchestra to seek bankruptcy protection. The world-renowned orchestra's board made the decision after an emotional meeting Saturday. Officials say concerts and business operations will continue, and a fundraising campaign is planned to try to save the 111-year-old orchestra. 4 of 6. Another air traffic controller falls asleep on job.
Oh, brother.
Sleeping incident, the fifth to be disclosed by the FAA since late March, occurred early Saturday morning at a busy regional facility in Miami that handles high-altitude air traffic. The FAA said...
Lovely. Let's open this and see what...
6. NPR News. Window. Button. Share. Button. 17 of 18.
Okay, I guess...
Share. Button. Share. Share. Button.
Okay, I guess you have to read it from the previous screen. Okay.
NPR News. Window. Philadelphia. Another air traffic controller falls asleep on job. The latest sleeping incident, the fifth to be disclosed by the FAA since late March, occurred early Saturday morning at a busy regional facility in Miami that handles high-altitude air traffic. the FAA said in a statement. 5 of 6.
That's pretty scary.
Load more stories. 6 of 6.
Yeah, let's load a few more.
Deaths reported as Gaddafi forces pound rebel-held city. 5 civilians were killed in a 30-minute barrage of shelling that heavily damaged a factory for dairy products and sent up a thick column of black smoke. A doctor said, reported as storms wallop south. Vicious storms smacked the deep south and toppled trees like dominoes as tornadoes hurled through towns. At least 7 people were killed in Alabama. Combined with fatalities in Arkansas and Oklahoma, the confirmed death toll had risen to 17 by early Saturday, the nation's deadliest storm of the season. 7 of 11.
Okay, let's see if there's any audio for that.
NPR News. Window. Button. Share. 21 of 30. Share. 19 of 30.
No, it looks like there isn't.
Share. Button.
Okay.
Share. Share. Button.
I was going to see if there was any audio. If there is audio, you can click to listen to that, too. But that gives you kind of an idea of NPR. That's a nice little app, too, that works pretty well for reading that kind of thing and for getting the audio. Actually, let me see. If we get the menu key, I think we can find out the stations, too.
News.
Let me see.
1 of 11. Disabled. Top stories. 2 of 11. By topic. Share. Button. 21 of 31. By topic. 3 of 11. Hourly news summary. Programs. 5 of 11.
Let's try that. Hourly news summary.
Hourly news summary. 4 of 11. But NPR news. Window. Button. Button. Listen now. Button.
Yeah, if you want to label buttons, but listen now. Let's do that.
Listen now.
From NPR News 04. I'm Louise Schiavone. Officials are poised to revamp air traffic controller schedules in the wake of another controller caught sleeping on the job, this one in Miami. We get more from NPR's Carol Van Dam.
This latest incident of a sleeping controller occurred early this morning at a busy high-altitude radar facility in Miami. It's the 5th time since late last month that the FAA says a controller has been found sleeping on the job. And again, it happened during an overnight shift extending into the early morning hours. A few days ago, the FAA announced controllers will no longer be scheduled to work alone on overnight shifts at any airport towers. But aviation experts say more must be done to address the problem of late-night or overnight schedules that do not allow controllers to get adequate sleep between shifts. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt says in a statement today that the scheduling changes now being made are just the beginning. Carol Van Dam, NPR News, Washington.
Egyptian authorities are poised to move former President Hosni Mubarak to a military hospital.
11 of 11.
NPR's Deborah Amos reports.
We'll go ahead and exit out of here.
To prison.
The trial of a former president moved a step closer as Egypt's state prosecutor declared that Mubarak would join his 2 sons in prison.
Recent.
A 15-day detention order is likely to be extended, since Hani Shukrala, editor of the state news outlet Al-Ahram Online.
Okay.
The interim government.
I'll go ahead and power this down, and I was going to shut it down anyway.
All of Egypt will be watching.
Power off.
I'm not sure where the stop button is on that. It might be one of those unlabeled buttons, which again, that's not Google's fault. That's the developer's fault for not labeling everything. But it's a nice app, and it works pretty well. Certainly good for getting the top stories. The phone just
SD card safe to remove.
Yeah, it says SD card safe to remove as it's powering down to unmount the card, but the phone is shut down. anyway, so with that, I'll go ahead and conclude this podcast. Hope everybody's enjoyed it, and hopefully this gives you a little better idea, or you know, a little more information about making a decision on what platform you want to go with. Again, they're both very usable. And I like them both for different reasons. I'm glad I have access to both the platforms for my my devices. Anyway, if any of you want to contact me, again, I'm not on Twitter or Facebook at this point, but still would love to hear from all of you out there. Do you want me to do a 4th one on Android? But I'm trying to think what else I could cover. I'm sure there's something, though. There's so many apps out there, so let me know. We'll go from there. If you want to contact me, my email address is N0OXY. That's November 0 Oscar X-Ray Yankee at charter, C-H-A-R-T-E-R, .net. The first part, again, is my ham radio call, so it's kind of unique.
But anyway, I hope everyone has found this useful and informal, and we will talk to everyone hopefully soon. Take care.